Are you a cake maker running a business or a business owner making cakes? Hi, I'm Sammy.
Hi, I'm Bronya, and welcome to the Business of Cake Making. Welcome to season two, episode one of the Business of Cake Making. We are starting season two with Stacey, who we are talking to today. She is the modern storyteller, and she is in probably the most idyllic office in the world right now. Still on lockdown, half on lockdown, but Stacey, you tell us, what do you do? Please introduce yourself. What do you do? Give us a bit of background, and why are we talking to you today?
Thank you so much, Bronya. Sammy, it's lovely to be joining you both. I am actually in the far west coast of the Isle of Lewis on the far west coast of Scotland. So probably far, far away from you lovely ladies down in the south of England. I live on the edge of the most beautiful bay on a croft, so surrounded by lambs at the moment, which is beautiful. Still under lockdown. Scottish lockdown is still a little bit different to English lockdown, so we're a couple of weeks behind you guys. But how do I find myself here? I am 43 years old, and if you'd have asked me 5 years ago, I would have hand on heart said that I was a city girl and you'd never get me in the countryside. And then fast forward 5 years and I'm living in the most remote place you could possibly get in the UK. The long story to bring me here, but I fell in love and married a man, so I moved for love.
Reason to move?
Yes, the very quick version. I'm very fortunate. I get to run my business from here. We have superb internet connections now. It wasn't quite the same a few years ago, but now we have all the mod cons, so I can run my business from here, which is really useful. So a little bit about me. I'm a communicator. That's what I do. I talk for a living. When I get asked, what do I do? That's what I always tell people. I love to talk. And for the past 25 years, I've worked for some of the biggest corporations around the world doing communications for them, writing press releases, writing up brochures, doing internal training videos, talking about creating leaflets, talking about big projects and having to put really technical jargon into standard English. That's what I've been doing for the last 25 years. I've worked for, you name the big bank, I've probably worked for it. I have worked for infrastructure companies, transport companies, been very fortunate, worked in Tokyo and New York and the Middle East. So the wow. Far west coast of Scotland is a massive change.
We should also say, actually, the reason I know Stacey is a reason far away from cake, isn't it? that we first met because of Weight Watchers. So we probably shouldn't be talking about cake in any way. But hey, that was a long time ago.
it was a different life away, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, we were both just saying that we were much skinnier and younger then, but hey, life moves on and we're better for it.
Absolutely.
I've spent the morning checking you out on social media and you're all over it. I've even signed up for your content webinar later this week, I believe, with my husband. We've heard you on social media speaking about messaging, media and communication, which seems like a huge subject. So at a high level, what is storytelling and how can it help in business?
So at a very high level, storytelling is literally the stuff you put out there in the world to market, advertise, show up as a business. And I look after clients and we do that in traditional newspapers, magazines, blogs, press releases. But more and more recently, absolutely, it's all over social media. So it's being able to help a business figure out what they should be saying and then give them the help and the guidance to really say that message with impact so that it moves people to want to buy their stuff. And I'm working with clients as diverse as a lovely coffee shop, a deli. I've got a life coach. I work with a business strategist. So it doesn't really matter what business you're in. The whole purpose of doing any form of communications is to take that stranger who doesn't know anything about you and take them on a journey so that they understand who you are, they get to like you, they get to know about you and understand what you could do to help them. And then ultimately, you want to move them so far along the journey that they trust you enough to part with their cash. And it could be a little bit of cash. So if it's a coffee shop and it's a scone and a cake and a cup of tea, we're not talking big amounts of cash. Or it could be for my business strategy, she's selling a sort of a £3,000 program. So wow. she has to get her clients fully on board and trusting her before they'll think about parting with their pennies. So storytelling is just, in my opinion, one of the best ways to make the connections with your clients so that they get to understand who you are and what you can do to help them.
For a lot of people, communicating and being personal and finding a unique voice is really daunting. I know my own business, I went from being quite corporate in the business, and in the last year, I've really turned to being a lot more personal. And it was quite difficult for me to actually feel comfortable to do that, because you're not always sure that your audience is actually going to want to hear you. So how can people start to explore their own story and know it's not going to be dull for the people that are listening?
I think the first thing to say is your story is never ever dull. You might think it is, but I promise you it never is. And the other thing to say is you have to figure out where your own personal boundaries lie. If you don't want to share anything about your personal life, then that's absolutely fine. I promise you can think of stories that are solely related to your business. So you have to make those kind of decisions up front. How open do you want to be? How exposed do you want to feel? And that the answer for that is going to be different for different people. And then when you start to think about, okay, what could I be saying? The best advice I give my clients is get your CV out, have a look at your CV, look at all your sort of skills and experience and all the jobs you've done in your life and all the courses you've taken, and whether it's been a quick volunteer thing or whether you've climbed a mountain for charity, whatever it is you've done in your life, they can all add to who you are today, and they make you the person you are today. So being able to weave some of that magic into your business story can be very daunting. You're dead right. And one of the things a lot of my clients say to me is, oh, don't know whether I should be sharing that. And I always say to them, okay, start at the end. Why would you want to share it? What's the purpose? What are you trying to get this person, audience member, potential customer, what are you trying to get them to do? And is that story, is that bit of information, is that funny tale, is that the best way to get them to do what you want to do? Or could you try something else? So I work with my clients and we always start with the end in mind and then we work backwards.
That's really interesting. Once someone like me starts to feel more confident with their own story, how can you communicate that to the audience? Have you got any tips for people about finding their own voice?
I do. And the easiest thing to do is to listen to what your customers and clients are saying. So what are their problems? What are their pain points? What are they trying to fix? How does your product or service fill that gap? Because if you listen to what they're saying, so I'll give you an example, Bronya. You'll appreciate this. So if it's a busy mum who hasn't got time to cook and is forever buying expensive takeaway meals and everything, the problem is not that this lady can't cook. The problem is she needs quick 30-minute meals. So it's really understanding where the problem is and how does your product fit into that problem, and then talk to your client in their language. Not what you think you should say, listen to how they phrase things and then ping back those exact same phrases to them. So if they tell you, I'm too busy to cook for my kids, you could turn around and say, well, I know you're really busy to cook for your kids. How about a quick 20-minute meal plan? So you're talking directly in their own language, but giving them an answer.
And in this high, quick, fast-moving world, that something like that makes life a lot easier. It's simple, put down
straight
away.
It does. And the, part of the art of storytelling is it's a skill called social listening. So if you can listen to what your ideal clients are all chattering about, wherever they show up, and it could be that you're in Facebook groups with the ideal clients, or it could be that you're walking down the high street and you're listening to what people are saying. But if you listen to their words and their chatter and their pain points, then address them, you will make money and you will absolutely have a story to tell because it's going to resonate with people. And the best thing a storyteller...
It's always going back to that ideal client, isn't it? It's always going back to hanging out where your ideal client's hanging out and listening to your ideal client. You know, they're so key, aren't they?
100%. And when I work with clients, the very first couple of weeks we sort of get together and work together is I take them right back to those basics, because you cannot sell to people if you don't know where they are and you don't know what they need. So you have to be speaking their language. So you've got to go and find them. You've got to find them first and you've got to listen to them. And then you can absolutely speak their language. And the best thing somebody says to me is, it's as if you were inside my head. How did you know I needed that? And it's because, well, it's like, well, I've been listening to you for 6, 7, 8, 9 months and I know how you feel. And then it's just using their words and writing posts that speak directly to them.
Yeah, it's like offering them something they didn't know they needed, isn't it?
There is a phrase in marketing that goes along the lines of sell them what they want, but give them what they need. And it's exactly that. So people might say, I want to have more time to cook for my family. But actually what they need is a quick meal plan, because then that way they're going to get their family fed. So it's tapping into their wants and their needs. And the other really top tip I can give you when you're thinking about talking to your ideal client is you are only ever talking to one person. Don't make the mistake of trying to address the crowd. You're only ever going to talk to the one person. So have that person, even just think of a physical person in your head. That's who you're talking to. And then you're using words like you, and instead of, you're not talking about they feel this, you're talking about I know how you feel. And if you make it very personal, it hits the mark.
We've both done quite a bit of research on you, and we've both been watching your lives and everything you do, because you do regular lives on your Facebook page and on your Instagram. And there was one the other day, and you were talking about the emotional side of communicating and tapping into people's emotions. And for cakes in particular, they are very emotional things. You know, they're usually happy emotions. They're usually weddings, christenings, that kind of thing. Occasionally the odd funeral, but thankfully not as often as the happy ones. How can tapping into those emotions actually help with your communication?
I think it's unpacking the emotions and how they're going to make somebody feel, and how does your product either address the emotion to change it, or how does the product or service you're offering address the emotion to sort of boost it up and to make that, to enhance the emotion. And it's absolutely valid to tap into those emotions, because we make buying decisions on emotion first and logic second. So I would hazard a guess that when ladies come to talk to you girls about wedding cakes, they already have the picture, the desire. They probably have a really good idea of what they want, whether it's sophisticated or whether it's traditional or whether it's funny and quirky. They've probably already got the thoughts in their head. So very much you're going to play to those thoughts. You're not going to say, well, I disagree with you and I think we should go black and white. You are going to go along with the emotions and you're going to feed into those emotions, because when that lady particularly is happy and excited and joyful with what you're talking about, she's more likely to say yes without even worrying about how much it's going to cost, because she desires it. So emotions are so powerful when it comes to buying things. And I think emotions in a story, the best thing you can ever do with a story is to make somebody feel something, make them feel happy, make them laugh, make them kind of smirk and giggle to themselves, or make them feel a little bit uncomfortable, give them a topic that might be a little bit controversial. And I'm thinking, going back to the cake analogy here, so you could write a post that I suspect would get lots of interaction would be something along the lines of, okay, let's bin fruitcakes. They should be resigned to the 19th century. It's all about red velvet cake now. We're not going to make any more fruitcake wedding cakes.
That would be so nice.
You'd start to play on people's emotions, because there will be a group of people out there that are adamant that fruitcake is traditional and the way to go, and a wedding cake isn't a wedding cake without fruitcake.
I'm in that corner.
What you're able to do is you're able to start conversations. And if you can start conversations with your audience, you are already on the journey of taking them from being a stranger to being a customer, because they're having a chat with you. And it's exactly, if you think about how you met your own husbands and how you kind of met your partners and you fell in love over a period of time, it's not a quick wham bam thank you ma'am. We've got to get to know each other, and it's a journey. And your journey from stranger to customer is exactly that. It's a journey. So the more conversations you can have with your ideal customers, the better, because they just get to know you a bit more. And posts like that that are going to tap into emotions or stir the pot with a stick, that type of post will be brilliant for building your connections.
I've been taking notes. Been writing it all down. sorry, back to the podcast. So we'd like to talk media channels. There is everything from Facebook to Instagram, Pinterest, email marketing, etc. Do you have a personal favorite, and how do you go about finding the right channel for your business?
We've kind of already answered this in our chat. The simple answer is, I'm going to go wherever my ideal clients are hanging out. So perfect. When you know where your ideal clients are, you're going to go and hang out where they are, because there's no point of me being all over Pinterest and my ideal clients are hanging out in LinkedIn. It's not going to serve my business. So part of the work you have to do first is figuring out where your ideal clients are, and then you're going to be in that platform. So personally, I'm a massive Instagram fan, and I am beginning to love Facebook as well. And because I'm selling a coaching package that is sort of long term, then I'm dabbling in and out of LinkedIn as well, because I think I might find some of my ideal clients there. But it is a little bit of trial and error. And I would say to every client I work with, pick one and do it really, really well, then add in a second one. There is absolutely no point in spreading yourself far too thin and not feeling like you're doing very good on any of them. So pick one. It's absolutely fine just to do one and do it to the best of your ability and start to see results. Then add in the second one.
I saw one of your lives the other day as well, and you were saying about, you know, the crossover from Instagram to Facebook, where yes. you can instantly post from one to the other, and you were kind of going, don't do that. Because people can tell that you haven't made the effort to actually put the effort in on both of them then.
Yeah, there's lots of schools of thought on this one, and I think you could take 10 different opinions and you'd probably get 10 different answers. My best advice to my clients is post natively in the platform you want to post in. So if you want to post on Instagram, great, post on Instagram, put your hashtags on and away you go. If you want to use the same post on Facebook, that's absolutely fine, but hashtags don't mean very much in Facebook at the moment. They're thinking of changing yeah. that, but at the moment, they don't mean very much. So if you put a post on Facebook that's a direct copy of your Instagram post and it comes up with 10 or 20 hashtags, it immediately screams, ah, you've been lazy. You've just cut and paste.
Yeah.
And it just, for me, as looking at my reputation, it's like, actually, for the extra 2 minutes effort, I could have posted it manually and not put the hashtags on. I don't need the automatic link. If you are completely and utterly pushed for time and you want to do the automatic link, then put your Instagram hashtags in your first comment, because they will never copy over. It will just be your caption that copies. And that would work.
It's funny because I use Instagram and Facebook for very different markets. I've got two very different markets. I've got a market that follows me for recipes, for baking, and then I've got a market that follows me for my bespoke cakes. And so I have two different channels for two different markets, and they very rarely, although I will kind of cross post, they very, very rarely respond on the other channel. So it's really obvious to me where my markets are hanging out for both yep. of them. And it's and really interesting.
And that tells me you've done your client research, because you know where your clients are. So again, I'm going to take it back to that really, really fundamental building block of all kinds of communication. You just have to know where your clients are, and then you're going to talk yeah. to them where they're at.
Right, now I've got a question here, and I know the answer to this because I saw your live the other day on this, and I've seen a couple of posts on it. So it's all about outsourcing. So outsourcing your PR, your communication. How do you feel about that?
I think that there is a time and a place for outsourcing certain things. But I promise you, the one thing you will never be able to outsource is your passion for your business. So if you want to come across as the passionate business owner, put your life and soul into your communications as much as you do your business, then I'm sorry, I think you've got to do that yourself. It's not to say you can't take advice, get strategy help, understand tools, do some training, figure out how to use scheduling tools and all of that kind of stuff, get help, do the learning, upskill yourself. But I fundamentally will stand on the fact that you've got to show up as yourself. And I, as a communications expert, I can spot posts a mile off when somebody else has written it on behalf of the business. And it's very obvious. You will find that there are excellent, brilliant social media managers out there. And it's not to say that you couldn't or shouldn't use them. But I think you've got to think long and hard about how do you want your voice to show up? And can somebody else replicate you? And I think in reality, it's really, really, really hard to get somebody else to be you and to build the relationships you want to build. And again, we're talking about taking your strangers to customers. So if they get one version of you on social media or communicating to them, and then suddenly they hand over their money, and yet then they meet the real you and you're totally different, they're going to get yeah. a bit of a shock. So I fundamentally stand on the principle that if you are a business owner, part of being in business is talking about your business. So learn how to do it. Do the training, get the coaching, become a mentor, find somebody who can take you through and hold your hand and show you the best way to do it. Then maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years into your business, when you start to see the success, then it might be valid to bring on a team member or to find somebody that you could possibly outsource some of the admin and the technical stuff to. But I still think you need to be doing it yourself, even when you're that successful. And you look at some of the big brands out there, they still do it themselves. If it's very much a personal brand, they're still showing up. They're still doing live videos. They're still popping into Facebook as themselves. They might have a team of people helping, but you still see them. You don't lose that personal touch. And I just fear that there's a whole generation of new businesses that are coming up now thinking that they don't need to learn how to do this. They could just palm it off to somebody else. And I'm going to stick my flag in the sand and say, actually, it's fundamental to your business success that you learn how to do this and you learn how to do it really well. Then you can outsource it down the line in a few years' time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I fundamentally think that you can do it, but I wouldn't.
I knew that answer.
Do you know what? I do kind of stand on my soapbox a little bit on this one. And I don't apologize for it either, because I think it's a skill everybody needs.
It's that thing again, isn't it? People buy from people. People want to know who they're buying from. And especially in the cake industry, you know, it's so personal. You want to know that the person that is making these cakes love them as much as the person that's buying it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I think your customers and clients would be mighty surprised to know that you are paying, I don't know, £400, £500, £600, £700 a month to a social media manager. How do you then justify that in your business model and your prices? So there's that whole very kind of practical side to it as well. If you're going to outsource this to somebody and pay a premium to do so, then you're going to have to work that backwards into your own costings as well to to run a profitable business.
How long would you recommend spending on social media and such like? Over the course of the week?
Oh, now that's a really tricky question. I think if you are organized and a little bit planned, it shouldn't take you more than half an hour a day. And I'm thinking posting every day, doing a little bit of interacting yourself, because as a business, if you want people to like and comment and share your posts, you've got to give some of the love back. So you've got to do a little bit of that yourself. But I would say half an hour a day on social media is absolutely more than enough. But I think that comes down to being a little bit structured and a little bit organized. So I always like to set my clients a kind of a weekly task to sort of map out the week ahead. And I don't mean you have to have everything ready and written, but just give yourself a little bit of an idea. Okay, I'm going to do 5 posts in the coming week. I'm going to talk about this subject, and here are the different ways I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to do that on a Monday and a Wednesday and a Friday, because Tuesdays and Thursdays are my really busy days. So it's not realistic for me to take time out on those days. So it's looking at that holistic approach. If you know what your normal week looks like and you've got a spare half an hour on a Monday morning, then use it. But if you know that Mondays are your absolutely chocker day, then don't put another pressure on your shoulders. The biggest thing about social media is not how often, it's how consistent can you be. So rather you show up once a week, every week, with something really good than do it for 3 or 4 days and then drop off the radar and everybody go and you disappear for a week, 2 weeks, and then come back for an odd post and then disappear again. But actually, once a week, twice a week, more than adequate.
You're listening, Sammy.
Yeah, I know. That's me. Right, let's change the subject really quickly. Is there anything else that we should have asked you about storytelling today?
I suppose that the bottom line is everybody can do it. Everybody can do it. And the example I give is I had a conversation with a client not long ago, and she was ranting and raving that she was so busy and she hadn't had time to do the homework that I'd set. And she was dashing out to B&Q to go and buy a Whirligig washing line for her garden. And she was like, I've got nothing to talk about this week, so that's why I've not done it. And I'm like, whoa, rewind. Why are you going to B&Q for a washing line? And she's like, because my laundry room is piled high and my son's doing this and my husband's doing this and I've got no time and I'm trying to work in a Chinese laundry. And she was just moaning about the fact that her house was a complete mess. And I'm like, so there's a story there, isn't there? And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, this is the life coach I was talking to you about. This lady helps people get themselves organized and helps people strategize their lives on the big picture. So I'm saying to her, so you could use the story of the washing line to make a point with your clients, couldn't you? And she's like, yeah. So my point is, your everyday life is your story. Your normal run of the mill, what you're having for tea, what happened yesterday, the chat you had with your granny last week, that is all stories. And you don't have to go deep and delve into your past or to touch anything that's going to be emotionally difficult or anything like that. You don't have to air your dirty washing or anything like that. Just talk about what's happening in your life. And the things that you find boring and mundane are the stories that will resonate the most with people. And the one I always drop in is, my husband is a Pepsi Max fan and drinks cans of the stuff. But he has this incredible knack of leaving the empty cans sat next to the kitchen sink. So 3 or 4 days a week, there's piles and piles of empty cans of Pepsi Max. There is other drinks available, obviously. But all I want him to do is to put the cans in the recycling. But they just pile up. And every now and again, I get so annoyed, I come along with a black bin bag and scoop them all up and go and take them to the recycling bin. And I stomp around and he moans at me for stomping around. And I'm like, if you just put them in the bin in the first place. But for me, that's like boring and annoying. And it's just something that happens week in, week out in my house. But to other people, it's like, oh, my goodness, you're human. My husband does the same, or my kids are the same.
It's a relatable thing, isn't it? Being able to relate that back to,
And it's real life. Yeah. So everybody has a story to tell. So never think that you don't.
It's not quite the same as that, but I know for people, so like creators like us, so if we're making cakes, to us, icing a cake, it's something we do all the time. It's really easy. We never think anything of it. But I know sometimes when I've done time-lapse videos of those, people are mesmerized by them.
Yep.
And it's for something for me, it's all like, well, it's the easy part of the job. It's the bread and butter part of the job. But for other people, they're just, you know, they're agog at what we do.
Yeah.
And I know I sit and watch making of videos from other people and I'd sit there and go, wow, that's amazing. But for them, again, it's like their everyday life. So. Yep.
And part of what I do with my clients is unpick that, is just sort of say, so tell me about a normal day. Tell me about what you do normally. So I was chatting with a candle maker last week and she was telling me how she connects all the wicks with little pegs and in the jars to make sure they're all in the middle before she pours the wax in. And I'm like, film it, put it on time lapse, because that's amazing. And she's like, yeah, but it's boring. I'm like, she says, it's my most boring job. I'm like, it might be boring to you, but I promise it's not boring to your audience. They want to see those intricacies. So find your story in your everyday.
Perfect. Thank you so much for chatting to us. This is your promo opportunity, Stacey. So let us know where to find you, where you hang out, how people can get hold of you, if they want to use you as a coach, etc., etc.
So I am over on Instagram as The Modern Storyteller. And again, Facebook as The Modern Storyteller. LinkedIn, I've had to use my real name. So I've had to let people know that I am Stacey MacDonald over on LinkedIn. But at the moment, I am offering coaching packages, and I work with clients for sort of anything in excess of 6 months. The real nitty gritty stuff takes a long time. So I like to hold my clients' hands for sort of 6 to 9 months and walk them through everything we've talked about, and essentially be in their back pocket for that amount of time. So if anybody would like to find out more about that, then find me on Instagram and drop me a DM, and I'll happily talk you through what the coaching package involves and how you can sign up for it.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so, so much, Stacey, for being our guest today on the business of cake making. We've really enjoyed chatting with you. To all our listeners, don't forget to subscribe, like and follow, and all links will be listed ready for you to click away and enjoy the business of cake making. Thank you for being with us today. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so, so much. You're amazing.
Thank you for listening to the business of cake making. If you'd like to see all the show notes, please go to daisycakecompany.co.uk and click on podcast. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. Bye bye.